Got to go out fishing yesterday. And on, I think, Chris's boat, we were out there. And while we took off trolling, I don't go out in the ocean like that and troll for, it's a rare thing for me to do. So I was just kind of taking it all in. And it was pretty cool. And as I was going, I was really praying. I did a lot of praying, and I'll tell you a little bit later how I need to pray more specifically next time, but you'll hear that story. But in all of this praying, man, I was just like, I felt like God wanted to give me a different message. We're in the book of Revelation, and we will continue through that, but he gave me a different message while we were out trolling. It was a, you know, you're trolling, and you got the hum of the motor, and you get to sit and do a lot of thinking and looking and a lot of praying, and it was really pretty cool. And so I pray that you receive the same encouragement from what God showed me while we were out trolling yesterday. So that's why I have the title, Training While Trolling. That's just what, as I was out there, I'm just praying, and God, you know, what do you want me to take in and all of this? And one of the first things I heard was, man, you know what? They ain't been catching those dolphin in shallow water. And I'm like, well, what's shallow water? Yeah, like 400 feet. I'm like, whoa, you know, and they're like, you got to go way out to the 1,000 foot. And we're out like, you know, going out to 1,000 feet. and I'm hearing, you know, it takes a while to get out there. And we're going out to 1,000 feet of water. And not that I'm afraid of sinking or anything like that, but I was been thinking about what I would tell Alana when Alana wanted to learn how to jump. My granddaughter wanted to learn how to jump in the deep end. What difference does the deep end make rather than the medium end and the shallow end? You know, it doesn't make a difference how deep the water is as long as you stay on top. Amen? So that's the first point right here. Look at this. It doesn't matter how deep the water is as long as you stay on top of it. And I started thinking about that as we kept going out. I'm looking at it, 500, 600, 700. You know, there's 1,000 feet, and I'm just thinking, it doesn't matter how deep it is. If it's over my head, it's over my head. It doesn't matter. And as long as I can stay on top, and I'm like, God, what's your application in this? And he started talking to me about troubles. And as a pastor, I get to deal with people who, you know, they mostly talk to me when there's troubles, when there's deep troubles, when they've got deep things in their life that are over their head. And I started thinking about that, that if we stayed focused on God, that's how we keep our head above water. It doesn't matter how deep your troubles are. Do you hear that? Because that's what people come to me like, you know what, I've had little troubles and yeah, I've handled those. That's what people think, they handle all the little troubles, all the different things. But when you don't handle the little troubles well, you sink. You start sinking and the troubles get deeper and they get deeper. And finally, when they get so deep that they realize they're in trouble, that's when I get to talk to people. And it's a privilege because I get to help them see life from God's perspective. But it's like, why didn't we talk when you first were kind of losing the surface? If we could have talked, you wouldn't have been down this far. And so what happens is that it doesn't matter how deep your troubles are. We have shallow trouble we think we can handle, medium trouble, but then when they get so deep, we're like, I just can't handle these troubles anymore. And the key, no matter how deep your troubles are, is to look back up to God and you stay focused on him to get your head back above water. Is there anybody here that's got any troubles today? None of y'all except me, man. All right, thanks. This is like worship aerobics, all right? Help me out. And yeah, deep troubles. And maybe God brought you, and that's what I was thinking. Man, I sat there, Chris, for the first, I don't know how many hours it was. I sat there, and you're like, you're praying? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm praying. You just didn't ask me what I was praying about. But man, I sat there, and I was just thinking through situation after situation after situation of deep troubles, even in my own life. And again, God just put on my heart that somebody in here today is needing this point, that the troubles seem to be getting deeper and being deeper, and you're like, man, I got no idea what I'm going to do. Man, I have no idea. I had life planned out. I had everything planned out. How many of y'all are planners? You got it all planned out. And then all of a sudden, God starts messing up your plans. And now you're in deep trouble. This wasn't how you planned it. This wasn't how it was going to go. But you're in no more trouble than you were before if you weren't following God. So again, it doesn't matter how deep the water is as long as you stay on top of it. Dude, we have any problem in 1,000 foot of water on a boat? As long as the boat was above water, right? And that was one of the things you said to pray about, because you're like, well, as long as we get in safe, I'm like, yeah, what if we don't? That'll be a Frederick vacation, no problem. But but it doesn't matter how deep the water is. It doesn't matter how deep your troubles are. As long as you stay on top of them and staying focused on God is going to keep your head above water. I got a bunch of scripture here for you in case you were wondering in this. But look at Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord. Solomon, wisest man to ever live when he was listening to what he wrote, trust in the Lord. You know what that word trust means? It means to stay stuck to. Man, well, we caught a fish. I'm going to tell you about this fish. We caught a sailfish yesterday. I got to tell you about that later. But when we pulled that sailfish in, man, it had this little fish in it. And I forget who it was. Was that you, Skylar? Somebody reached down and they grabbed and they're like, oh, look at this little fish. And it was about this big, and it was a remora. And that little remora, you could see half of his top of his body was a special head that allowed it to stay stuck to a fish. Y'all ever seen a remora before? Right? Half of his body, half of the head, the top part, was a special head designed to stay stuck to the big fish. And I started thinking again, you've heard me talk about this before, but whoever was holding it, that's what I told him. I said, man, that's us. They have a special head to stay stuck to a fish. We have, as believers, a special head that called faith that God has given us. Through grace, he's given us faith, and we can stay stuck to him. But we've got to stay stuck to him. He's given us the ability. That little remora, he has the ability to fly, to go swim off somewhere else, go do something else, go wherever he wants. But he's going to go a lot further if he stays stuck to that big sailfish. And we're going to go a lot further if we stay stuck to our Almighty God. Amen? So trust. Stay stuck to the Lord. And that word Lord, when you see it written that way, all in caps, that's the covenant God. That's the Jehovah, that's the covenant God that made the promise. He made this promise. You stay stuck to me, you know, and he says in the end, your paths are going to be made straight. Whenever you see that capital L-O-R-D in there, that's the covenant God. He said, I'm the God who makes the promises. And what do we know about if God makes promises? What do we know about those promises? He's going to keep them. So that's why the psalmist and the proverb guy, man, Solomon, all those guys, they use that word a lot. Because they're calling on the God that made the promise that cannot lie. And he's going to keep the promise, and that gives you confidence to stay stuck. So stay stuck to the Lord. Look at this. With how much of your heart, Tiny? All of it. That's right, all of it. And again, you know, not like being half-hearted for God, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything will be added unto you. It's a total dedication. You know, God's not, doesn't get a compartment on your schedule. God is your schedule. God is your life. Everything you do, you are staying stuck to him, and your whole heart is in bringing him glory. That's the goal. God, it's not like, well, why is this happening to me? It's no, Lord, how can I bring you glory in this situation, God? What is it that you brought? Why have you brought it in my life? What is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to follow you? That's what it means to have your, to trust him and stay stuck to him with all of your heart. Look at this next part. And do not lean on your own understanding. Joey, we probably talked about this in one of our Bible studies, but this little section right here of do not lean on your own understanding, whenever the warriors of that day, whenever they like kind of, you know, did something really stupid, and if they survived, they were going to go back into town and they were going to be ostracized and probably publicly killed so the soldiers wouldn't do that again. So often when a soldier did something stupid, when he chickened out, when he did something really just off, you know, he wasn't supposed to do, what they would do is take their sword, put the butt in on the ground and have the point here, and they would lean on their sword. And it would pierce their heart and they would die in battle. And then people could tell whatever stories they want, kind of like our selfish story in a little bit. But that in that, that's what the soldiers would do. Instead of being publicly humiliated in their families, they would take the chance, they would lean on their own sword, and they would kill themselves. It was suicide. And so what he's saying here is when we don't trust in the Lord with all of our heart, when we don't do that, we're committing spiritual suicide. We're leaning on our own understanding. Your own understanding is far inferior to God's. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our thoughts. We don't even come close. We just look at what's happening and say, God, how can you get glory out of this situation? Anytime we try to come up with our own solutions, we try to come up with our own fixes, we try to come up with our own anything on this, it's leaning on our own understanding. We're committing spiritual suicide because whatever you can come up with is far inferior to what God has come up with. The idea is figuring out what God come up with. And it means being patient to wait and do what he wants you to do every moment through this situation. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And he says, in all your ways. How many ways, Tiny? All of them. He wants all your heart, wants all your ways. So how much attention does he want to pay for you to pay attention to? How much attention of yours does he want of yours? Wait a minute. How much of your attention does he want? All of it. Well, what's Sam going to get? But when you're giving God all of your attention, I think she's going to get plenty because that's how he's going to address to take you. But when you're trying to orchestrate, oh, I got to pay attention to this, to this, to this, to this. No, just focus on the Lord. And that we talked about last week was seek first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness. That's it. And everything you need will be added. He'll guide you and direct you and take care of you in every aspect of your life. But it starts by focusing on him. So in all your ways, acknowledge him and everything that's going on. All right, what do you want me to do, God? All right, God, you know what? How can you get glory out of all of this? So in all your ways, acknowledge him. And look at that. He will make your path straight instead of... Have y'all really seen that sometimes it takes a long time to get somewhere when you're taking your own path? You run into obstacle after obstacle after. Now, you know what? When you're following God, that path may be long, but those are not obstacles. Instead, they are opportunities. You see them very different. So again, help me out. They are not obstacles. They are what? Opportunities. And you see every bit of it that way. Look at it in Isaiah. This is pretty cool right here. Isaiah 26:3. He says, and this is in other parts of Scripture too, you, God, keep him, that's you, with the deep troubles, however deep they are, you keep him in what kind of peace? You ever have perfect peace? You have had perfect peace, but it's not all the time, right? So when can you have perfect peace according to that scripture? Yeah, so whose fault is it if you're freaking out and you don't have perfect peace? It's yours. But that's why we need scripture to renew our minds, to know I don't have perfect peace right now. I don't. I'm freaking out. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about. And God says, you, through Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because the more your mind is stayed on him, the more you will what? What's the T word up here? Trust him. When you start thinking about him, you will trust him. And keep trusting him and keep trusting him. And again, that trust, remember, is staying stuck to him. So the more your mind is on him, the more you will be stuck to him. And then in Colossians, look at this, super quick. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are where? Yeah, so if you're sinking, any of y'all scuba dive, you know, and you got all your stuff on, and if you're on a dive boat down in West Palm, you're there, and all of a sudden on the tide boat, they're dive, right? You ever been in that? And everybody's like trying to like, oh, you know, and when you dive, man, you got like 20 guys, girls, whoever diving, and all of y'all are just sinking right to the bottom. Now, I don't know about you, the first few times I did that, they're like, dive. I didn't think about who was telling me to dive. I didn't think of their qualifications. I just dove. I'm like, okay. And as I'm going, there's a shark, there's a this. There. And all of a sudden, me and Terry, we're on the bottom. And then now we're paying attention to everything on the bottom right there, but we had a tank. When you're in your deep troubles, you don't have a tank. You're going to run out of your own energy or air. What's going to happen is these troubles are going to weigh you down. And if all you focus on are the troubles and all you focus on is what's down there, you're going to keep sinking until you're at the bottom. And then, oh, I need to get way up there. Wouldn't it have been easier if you started sooner? So in this, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, that's us who are saved. We've been raised in Christ. We're in Christ. Seek. Again, there's that word seek. Look for. Focus on. Don't be distracted with anything else. Seek the things that are where? Up here. So if you fall in and it's not part of a dive, you fall in. If we'd fallen off the boat yesterday, 1,000 feet of water, all right? You know what? If I fell in, which I could have, my legs ain't really good no more, man. And I fall in, you know what I'm looking for? Am I looking down? Am I even trying to swim down? Am I trying to like sink down, trying to let air out of my legs? No, I'm trying to get to the surface because that's where the safety is. And it's the same thing spiritually, but we allow ourselves to get drugged down by bad news, by problems, by situations that aren't going the way we want them to go. But I guarantee you, every situation's going exactly the way God has it planned. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And the next verse says the purpose is for you to become more like Christ. And so what we have to do, as soon as you recognize you're sinking, soon as you realize that, man, it's not good down to keep sinking, you come back up. You get your eyes on Christ and you come up. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Why, God, I want to see this from your perspective. It says it's where Christ is and He's seated on the right hand of God. And so that, boom, we're focused on Him. It's all about that focus instead of letting those problems drag us down. Look at this next in Colossians. He said, so set your mind on things that are where? Above. Don't be like, oh no, there's sharks. Oh no, there's like, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Instead, flip over and look up and set your mind on Him, not on things that are on the earth. And again, you're going to go through things that are on the earth, but you're going to see them from His perspective, and there's going to be hope there. That no matter what you're going through, how horrible, how different, how difficult, whatever, the bottom line is He's in control, period. But when you're focused on the things that are below you and all of that, you're freaking out. Oh no, there's a giant tiger shark coming up my way. You know what? If you're looking up, you don't even see the shark, dude. Probably just wants a little taste, that's all. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And He says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. You belong to Him. You are His most precious possession. You understand you're an heir with Christ. Whatever Christ inherits, you inherit with Him. So then you might be like, well, come on, bring it on, tiger shark. Take me down now. Whatever. But the point is that however deep your problems are, you need to get back to the surface. You need to get back into Christ. You need to be focused back on God. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all right, He said, this is what we should do. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Not too terribly long ago, in your neighborhood, Ashley, you guys might have heard about a diver that died over there in North Beach, Terry and their neighborhood. He basically, him and a bunch of buddies were fishing, and they, in about 90 foot of water, I think it was, maybe 60 to 90, something like that, he lost his trolling motor. Now, it's a couple $1,000 trolling motor. How many of y'all are going to go in after your couple $1,000 trolling motor? Yeah, if you're a diver, you're going, all right? You should have had somebody go with you. And there's another point that the fact is we don't do life alone. We do it with Christ, but we do it in community. And so what they did, they marked it. They went back, got dive equipment for one person, for him. He went and he jumped off and he dove down. And it was just a few minutes later that they saw his gear up on the surface. He must have gotten caught on something and he ditched a little too late. Because when they sent rescue divers, there were firemen that went and helped rescue him, or tried to rescue him, they went down and they found him on the bottom with a weight belt dead. He was on the bottom with a weight belt dead. He ditched too late. He had a lot of weight that brought him all the way down to the bottom, which is what that weight's supposed to do. And do you understand that's what Satan's intending to do? When you have the wrong perspective on what's going on in your life, he's trying to weigh you down so that you will go to the bottom and you will drown. That's not God's intention. ditch the weight. That's what Hebrews is saying. He said, since we have are surrounded by such a large cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And he's talking about a race now. You know, if you're going to have a race, you're running a marathon, man, don't have a weight belt on. Get rid of all the extra stuff. You ever see the weird stuff racers wear? Dude, I don't even know if that, are those spray painted on? I'm just not sure. I try not to look, but it's like, you know, but what are they trying to do? They're trying to ditch every bit of weight that's going to slow them down. But he's saying, ditch the weight that's holding you down in life. Those are the problems. Focusing on the problems. Focusing on, oh, woe is me. I got this situation. And, oh, I got this one. And I got this one. And then you get a couple of people and start talking about it. Now you have a whole pity party talking about it. It's dragging you down. Instead, somebody be the man or woman of God and bring up the Word of God and the promises we have from God and God's perspective. And, dude, it'll be like filling your BC full and you won't get the bends coming up that fast. I'm just saying it'll take you right to the top again. Look at this first part. Therefore, since we were surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know what a lot of people have been taught and what they think? They think that this means that all the people who died before us are in like a stadium and they're all like looking down on us, cheering us on. That is not what this means. What this means, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and you go into Hebrews 11 where he talks about, we just got done talking about the whole cloud of witnesses, the people who chose to live and do things God's way and how it worked out. And many of them weren't looking for success here on this planet. They were looking for success in heaven for that they would have forever. But go back and read the Hall of Fame of Faith in chapter 11, and that's the cloud of witnesses. We have plenty of people that we can read about in the Word of God where they did something so crazy that God wanted them to do. But man, God did something so supernatural that he couldn't get, that they had to get blamed for it. And so again, that's the cloud of witnesses. We're looking back to these people. You know what? Everybody in their family said not do that. Everybody did this. Everybody shut. But they did what God wanted them to do, and it came out successful. And it will for you, too, because success is not defined by the world standard. Success is defined as in what God wants to accomplish in a situation, and he will accomplish that. You got a chance to dig the ride or not dig the ride. But again, he wants you to dig the ride. So you got proof that God works. Let us lay aside every weight, because weight's going to take us where, Chris? Dude, I was watching. I was thinking some of y'all had shoes on, man. And, you know, like some guys had shoes and all. I'm thinking if they went down, boy, you ever gone down off a boat in a pair of blue jeans? I'm just saying. You better be getting them things off as quick as you can, because they're dragging you down. You get rid of everything that's dragging you down and you focus on the surface and what you've got to do to get back up there, and we focus on God. So he said, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Look at this, looking to all the stuff on the bottom? No, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, look at this, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Tiny, you think you would have fun at the cross? I'm not, that's probably the wrong word. Do you think you could enjoy the cross? No, the cross, he enjoyed the cross. The word of God tells us, because he knew that that was where he could sacrifice his perfect life and give it to us. He knew that he had to die and shed his blood and die to be able to be our substitute, to pay the penalty for sin. And the joy in it was that he was going to get to save you. He endured the cross with joy to save you. Dina, did you get that? To save you, if it was just you. He would endure the cross with joy because you would be saved. You know? And that's true with everyone who is saved in this. So again, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised and shamed, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And guess what? That's where we're going to be, is with him. So George Mueller, and this will be it on this particular point, but George Mueller used to have a saying. Anybody familiar with George Mueller? Anybody have no clue who George Mueller is? Let me see your hand. Look him up and get his books. They're like 90 cents on Amazon, whatever. George Mueller was one of those guys back in the, Oliver Twist days. Maybe you don't even know who that is, but back in the days when in England there were like urchins, there were really rich people and really poor people. And the really, really rich people didn't want to help the poor people because then they would spend all of, there just wasn't a lot of wealth around. It was either the rich people have it and they better keep it and use it and manage it wisely, or there were poor people who were beggars. There was no middle class, and that's the way third world always works. So be careful when you see our middle class going. But it was a rich and poor situation. And in that, he was part of the aristocrat situation, but God, a very educated man, very wealthy man, but God called him to start orphanages for all these little urchins, like Oliver Twist, you know? And so he did that, and his family disowned him. Everybody disowned him because he crossed class lines and went down and used his wealth to help those that they thought didn't deserve it. And when he did that, God gave him a mandate because he had probably a worry. Probably, God, how am I going to pay for this? How is this all going to happen? What happens when my money runs out? I don't know. That he didn't really go into that. He just said God gave him a mandate and said, don't ever ask for anything from anybody for this ministry. Only ask me. And he only asked Christ. And you can read his books of how story after story he asked God and God brought. One of the most famous ones was he sat down with a bunch of urchins, you know, and they're getting ready to eat. And they had food, but they had no milk. And water wasn't safe to drink. They had no milk. And he was just like, thank you, God. They're praying around the table. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the milk. And all the urchins are looking at each other like, you're an idiot. All of a sudden, somebody knocks on the door. And then guess who it was, y'all? It was the milkman. His truck, a non-refrigerated truck, just had ice blocks in it. That non-refrigerated truck broke down right in front of whose house? George Mueller's house. And the guy said, I have an exorbitant amount of milk that I have to get rid of or it's going to spoil. It won't even make it back to my place. Do you have a use for it? And guess what? He had a use for every drop of it. Story after story after story. But he had the guts to have the faith, to exercise the grace that God was giving him to do it God's way. And this was one of his most famous sayings right here. Write this down. If you're ever thinking of getting another tattoo on the inside of your eyelids where you don't miss it, this is it. Master the heavenly uplook. Master the heavenly uplook. Everybody sees their deep troubles. Everybody sees their troubles getting deeper. And everybody focuses on those troubles getting deeper instead of mastering the heavenly uplook as to how God can get glory out of this. Master the heavenly uplook as opposed to the earthly outlook. Man, you got no idea how many times in raising a family and that Linda and I have looked at that and remembered that. You've got to continually master the heavenly uplook. So let me ask you a question. Does it matter? Hey, Matthew, does it matter how deep the water is? As long as you stay where? I only called on you because you got a mouthful of food right now, but that's all right. I saw that, bro. But that's good. Yeah. So again, it doesn't matter how deep the water is. It doesn't matter how deep your troubles are. As long as you stay on top. And the way you stay on top is by staying focused on who? God, not your problems. So I thought about that as we were in that 1,000-foot of water and we were coming back. It didn't matter. Once it's over my head, it's over my head. And you know what? I got news for you. Every one of your problems is over your head. Any way that you can take care of them is inferior to the way that God wants to take care of them and get glory. Amen? So that's the... that's the one part. Here's the next part, okay? Check this out. As I'm sitting there, I thought about that first part a lot. And then I started watching because we were trolling, right? Where'd Matt go? Did he go down with Shade or somewhere? Oh, there he is right there. We were trolling. What were you looking at, Matt? The whole time we're trolling. For hours we're trolling. What were you looking at? What? Yeah, the tips. You were looking at the tips of the rods. You were looking at the line out there. Chris, every like 2 minutes, dude, I know why you're so skinny now, man. You're flying down that tuna tower. You're fixing bait, pulling this, putting another rig. You're having people reel this in so you can change it and refreeze that bait and all whatever. I don't know all what you're doing, but you were a little dynamo, man. Just whoop, 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 whoop. And in there, but you were paying attention. What were you paying attention to? Everything. You were paying attention to everything. Did you go take a nap because you got tired of paying attention to it? The whole time while we were out there, did you go take a nap down below? No, because why were you paying attention to everything? Yeah, your little brother-in-law, man, he took a nap up there. He got tired of paying attention to them rods. Why? Because nothing was happening. He didn't think anything was happening at that time. But if you, listen to this, if you don't pay attention, you will miss the excitement. What's the excitement? Matt kept telling his father-in-law, oh, it's kind of boring when it's just trolling. But man, once things start hitting, it's what? Exciting. Yeah. And you should have seen, man, fish on! And what did everybody do when everybody's reeling in all the other 25,000 reels and rods and lines and getting that one in? And man, when Thad finally brought that peanut dolphin in that he fought for so long because it had this much weed on the line, I almost thought about tricking him at one point. I was going to put a bucket at the end of the line and let it go out and let them, whoa! And that's what we used to do back in the day when people wanted to watch and see if we were catching something. We'd fish buckets and then leave the spot. But anyways, listen to this. If you're not paying attention, you will miss the excitement. You go take a break, go take a nap, you get focused on something else, decide you're going to watch the birds, you decide you're going to watch the ocean, you watch something else, you're going to miss the excitement. And so the spiritual lesson is don't get distracted when it seems as if God is doing nothing. Understand that? Don't get distracted when it seems as though God is doing nothing. You were paying attention even when the fish were biting. Because what would have happened if you weren't paying attention when the fish did bite? Boom, you'd have missed it. We'd be like, whoa, you'd be that guy on the reels where they, and the surf casters where they see the fish drag your whole rod out into this ocean. They missed it. So sometimes in life, it seems as though God's doing nothing. Sometimes it seems like he's doing everything and you're running. Sometimes it seems like you're flying and everything is great. And then there's those mundane times in life where it seems as though God is doing nothing, but he's always doing something. You gotta pay attention during those mundane times in life, because if you're not paying attention, then when something is ready to happen, you're going to miss it. There's a little passage in Isaiah chapter 40, 28 through 31, probably the last few verses. Y'all have crocheted on a pillow, or your mom had it, you know, cross-stitched on the wall or whatever, but I wanna show you the context of this right here. It's in Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. The Israelites, you know what? They kind of lost, they quit paying attention to God because he wasn't doing what they wanted him to do in all of this. And so I'm going to read the whole thing and we're going to go back at it. But Isaiah comes back from the word of the Lord and he says, have you not known? Y'all forgot who God is? It's a rhetorical question, but he says, have you not known? Have you not heard the Lord? Oh, did you see what Lord that is again? Capital L-O-R-D, who's that? That's the covenant God. The God that made promises that y'all were going to catch fish. That God is going to let you catch fish. That God that promised that this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Be patient, whether you're walking, running, or flying. You got to pay attention all the time. So have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. What is everlasting? Help me out, y'all Bible scholars. What does everlasting mean? Bill Cup, what? Give us that deep definition of everlasting. There you go. You got it. Yeah. He's lasted forever. He's been there, done that. He's seen it all. He made it all. And it's all made by him for him. He says, have you not heard the Lord, the one who made the promises to you? He's been there forever, been there, done that, seen it all. He's always been, fully is, and always will be God, the creator. He made it all. We don't make anything except a mess when we don't put the ingredients together the right way, but we don't even make the ingredients. He created everything. The creator of the ends of the earth, look, guys, he does not get weary. He doesn't get tired. And not even necessarily physically. How many of y'all got tired of waiting for something to happen? So you quit. You get tired of, well, it doesn't look like it's going to work out the way I want it to work out, so I'm going to go find something else. No, dude, it has nothing to do with whether you stay, go, or whatever. If you're where God wants you, you're where God wants you, and you stick through all of those there. So his understanding is unsearchable. Well, why in the heck would God have me here when this is going on? Why would he make me do this when that's happening? Why would? Guess what? You're never going to know until it's over. And then maybe then you still don't understand it, because understanding is what? Unsearchable. Look at this. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases his strength. This is a promise from the God who makes promises that he can't break. Even youth, young people, are going to faint. Keone and Lucas and Milo, Finn, they're going to wear out. Eventually, they're going to wear out, right? You're eventually going to get tired, God says. The youth even shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. You ever seen Keone laying there with his mouth open? You know? Yeah. But look at this. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. So an eagle with wings, what's he doing? Flying. They shall run and not grow weary. What are they doing? They're running. So there's phases of life. Sometimes you're flying and everything is like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. And it's going to last forever. You've ever been there, Joey? It's just flying like, oh man, how's it going, Joey? It could never be better. It's the greatest. I'm flying. And then other times he says that you shall run and not grow weary. You ever been just running, Joey? Like a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest? You know what I'm saying? You ever been just running where life is just boom, 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 and you just can't? He said when you're running, it's easy to get distracted when you're running, because now all you're trying to do is just accomplish tasks. Yeah, I ain't got time to ask God what he wants. I ain't got time to wait for God to tell me what to do in this situation. I'm just got to accomplish this now, or it's going to blow up, and accomplish this. And running, he said, you're going to run and not grow weary if you will wait on him. And I'm going to tell you what that means in a minute. But here's the hardest. Is this not the hardest time for us to live? They shall walk and not get faint. Have you ever had a vision and you've been excited about what's going to happen and what God wants to do, and he's given you confidence to know it's going, but it seems like nothing's happening? You're walking. Jeff, why are you shaking your head, man? You been there? Are you there now? No, I'm just joking. But that's a phase of life, of just walking the mundane life. What do you want me to do now, God? Doing it, putting one foot in front of the other and doing what God wants you to do. And sometimes when it goes slow and we're walking and it doesn't look like God is doing anything, we quit, we bail, and we go look for someplace else to fly. That's not what we're supposed to be doing in this. We're supposed to be paying attention. Remember what I was talking about with the fishing lines, man? You were looking at everything. Did you look at it when we were just walking, when we were just patrolling, like, oh, oh, oh. How long did that part last? But you were excited. I was excited, too, because I was praying, and God was showing me this stuff, all right? But sometimes when it's just, and you're there, it's like, God, I got to go find something else to do, man. You know? Especially if you're ADD and all them other things like me, but, you know, I got to go find something else to do. That's why I was talking to God. I was just like, you know what? But I got to keep watching, because if I don't watch, you never know when you're walking when God is going to say run. You never know when he's going to take you running and he's going to get you flying. Your whole life ain't flying. There's seasons. And God's teaching you something and he's doing something. You ever think about what it takes for God to orchestrate things? Man, for him to orchestrate our sailfish catch yesterday was phenomenal. I'll tell you about that later. But it was phenomenal. It was different. I guarantee you never caught a sailfish this way, but in there, man, there's times you're walking. Don't get faint. Man, you're running, and don't get distracted. You got to pay attention when you're running. Otherwise, you run into stuff, and you create problems. And when life is flying, you better dig the ride. Man, Abby, how about that in the middle of the night when shade, you're like, you wake up and shade's still sleeping. You're like, oh, he's going to sleep the whole night. That's flying, isn't it? That's what's reduced to flying for you now, right? Shade sleeping through the whole night. Dig the ride. You don't go poke him and touch him like, is he really sleeping? You know, is he alive still? Wait, no. And dig the ride. But it all comes back down to, but they who what? Wait on the Lord. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll fly. They'll run and they won't grow weary. And they'll walk and they won't faint. They can make it through all the phases of life, but you have to wait on the Lord. Now, that Hebrew word wait, it means to braid. It means to wrap yourself around something. It doesn't mean wait and just twiddle your thumbs. What it means is if you're waiting on the Lord, it means you're wrapping yourself around Him. It's at this time when I usually do this, I would yank somebody's hair out, you know, but I'll have mercy. I won't do it. But you take a long string of hair, one piece of your hair, you know. I should have had you bring me one in. But one piece of your hair, how much weight can that hold? Do you think it could hold this Bible? Probably not. I mean, it wouldn't hold very much, right? Have you ever been like that string of hair? Have you ever been in a situation where you feel like if God put one more ounce of anything in my life, it's going to break? Faithful. It's your faithfulness that people are going to see, your faith in God, and that God's going to use. So during those mundane times, average people, regular people, they're just going to bail. Don't bail. Be valuable during those times, because God's the one who's orchestrated that time for you. Don't get distracted when it seems if God is doing nothing. All right, this is the last one right here. And you're like, what? It's only 10:45. How many of y'all thought that in your mind? Like, how long can one verse take? All right, two in all of this. I usually ask Terry, but they're on vacation right now. But here's the big thing. As we're starting to get towards the end, I've been there where I've taken people out on stuff, and all of a sudden, it ain't worked out exactly the way it is. And I heard you. You're like, well, are you praying, Pastor? Yes, sir, I'm praying. And you're like, yeah, well, you know what? You better pray a little harder, because we ain't catching no fish. Something like that. I didn't take offense. But Chris is saying, you know, well, I don't make the fish bite. I can just bring them there. But we don't. Do you ever feel that way when you take somebody and do something and it's not working out the way you plan? Now, if we were just tired of, our arms were tired, you'd be like, oh, yeah, everything worked out. That was great. But when things aren't working out, sometimes we sort of take responsibility for that. But you know what? We're not responsible for the results ever. What are we responsible for doing? What God tells us to do. I could hear it on the boat. Matt was kind of, you know, maybe making some little excuses to his, you know, father-in-law. Everybody was trying to show everybody a good time, was coming up with some kind of, well, it's just hot. Well, the fish just ain't biting. Well, you know what? These are my spots. We've caught these kind of fish all day long on these spots, but not today. Let's go over them again. I mean, you did everything you could possibly do, right? And we caught a peanut dolphin, 20, you know, good size, make a nice sandwich. Caught another one that, man, Thad thought he had a brute. We thought we had a big bull, but it ended up that we just had a mess of, we had a little one that was under 20 inches, but we had like about 80 inches of weeds on that. And so he thought he had a big one. It was exciting till he got up to the boat, right? But we caught a sailfish. Did I tell you we caught a sailfish? And I was praying like, okay, God, do something so supernatural only you could get blamed. Do something different. Well, I should have actually said, God, if you would, let us catch that sailfish on a hook and line. and it would have been, but we pull up, and we're going, and all of a sudden, there's a sailfish, a full-on-size sailfish just sitting there. I mean, he was a little sideways, but he was just kind of laying there, and we're like, there's a dead sailfish. Well, we go up. I mean, if there's a dead sailfish, you're going to go up. So I think Matt grabbed the bill, and other people grabbed. I just saw a bunch of people grabbing stuff. Next thing you know, we got this sailfish, and he's not dead. He's alive. We have a big live sailfish on the boat, so everybody's like, well, let's get pictures, man, just, you know, whatever. And every liar, I mean fisherman, said, was thinking about, you know, in fact, Matt posted a picture to the family, but he did it in live, and it said, don't tell the girls, that got caught on the live picture. And they already said, so they knew something was up. So we all got pictures of big sailfish, and it was just like, you know, it was cool. Everybody got pictures of a sailfish. It was alive. And then Brandon took it, and after everybody got pictures and looking at the sailfish, we decided we didn't have the permits to be able to take it home and smoke it, and it was still alive. Alive. So how many of you have ever caught a live sailfish with your bare hands? You ever done that, Trent? No. Matt, you ever done it? A fisherman? Anybody ever done it? Dude, we did it. I mean, anybody, how many people yesterday caught sailfish with a rod and reel. Come on. I mean, you know, like everybody else does it, right? Now that's kind of, you know, that would be the prayer. Yeah, dude, we got, y'all would be way more impressed. Chris, you ever heard of anybody catching a live sailfish with their bare hands? No, dude. Even Piper, man, she's hooked dolphins before that nobody does because they have sonar. But you've never caught a sailfish with your bare hands. No, it's never happened. But God allowed us to do it. So everybody's kind of like, well, that's kind of cheesy if we tell people we caught this. You know what? A catch is a catch, bro. and it's like, it was just cool to see the sailfish and then the remora coming off and all of that. It wasn't what we were thinking was going to happen, but guess what? We're not in charge, are we? If we're in charge, oh man, we would have caught five of them off rod and reel, watched them dance on the water and blast and all of that. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to give us something very unique. And one day it's going to preach. Not today, but there's going to be a message in that somehow. But the point is, you're not responsible for the result. Chris wasn't responsible. Skyler's busting his butt, man, the night before, getting all the rigging together, and Brandon and you guys and going through all of everything, killing it. For what purpose? What was the purpose? To catch a bunch of fish, right? That's our purpose. But God sometimes has other purposes, and our job is to simply do what God tells us to do. God ever thrown you a curveball? How about a knuckleball? You don't know where that's going. Our purpose is to do what God wants us to do, and when we do that, whatever the result is, he gets the glory. And I don't care what y'all think about that sailfish, man. I'll probably never in my lifetime ever get another opportunity to catch a live sailfish with my bare hands or be in that situation. That's what God chose. So what do we do with it? We give him glory because, man, y'all ever seen a sailfish? You ever seen a live one up close? One of the most beautiful fish in the world. Do you see all those spots on the tail? Man, do you see this, the beauty of array of colors and all of that? If we would have had to depend on a rod and reel, I'd have never got to see that stuff this trip. But man, we got to see God's glory. We got to see his beauty in that. So you're not responsible for the results. That's usually when we get bummed. I'm doing this for God. God, have, you know, and this is what's supposed to happen. And when things don't happen the way we think they should happen, we get bummed. But we're not responsible for the results. We're not even the captain. Jesus is. Look at this one verse, Proverbs 19:21. And I was thinking of some other ones, but God just wanted me to keep this simple right here with this. Look what he says. Many are the plans in the mind of men. Chris, did you have some plans for us yesterday? I know you did because I'm listening as we're getting ready to go and go, yeah, we're going here, and you're telling Brandon where he's going to drive and what we're going to use, and all you guys were talking all this stuff about all these things we were going to do, and that was great. We do plan. We do need to plan. That is scriptural to plan. But the point is in Scripture, and especially in Proverbs, is don't get ticked off when your plans get changed. God directs our steps. God, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to stand. It's what God wants to accomplish that's going to be accomplished. And man, that's exactly what God did yesterday. It was awesome. What a great day out there. I slept like a baby last night. I don't know why. I just kept hearing, but that diesel motor, man, it was like, dude, I'm going to get one, you know, a little sound thing for my room, man. That was good. Can we get one, Linda? But what happened yesterday was exactly, and again, I bring up the sailfish that Thad was like, I ain't letting nobody know we caught a sailfish, not on rod and reel, and I ain't taking claim to know. And that's what, no, dude, whatever. I said, Thad, God let us catch a sailfish with our bare hands. Now, that might not mean much to you, but it means everything in the world to me because that's what God's plan was. And I saw glory in all of that. I got to see God's plans come to fruition, and his plans aren't always our plans. What happens to us? Matt, what happens to us when all of a sudden God changes the plans and they're not our plans anymore? What do we usually do? Yeah, we get mad, we get discouraged, we get depressed. We're like thinking, oh, I didn't, you know. No. Ashley and I, after Driftwood, the things that happened in this church through you guys, through what God is doing, the crazy stories, the things that happened, we discuss them with each other a lot of times. JJ's in there too, and we're like, but Ashley and I are on the phone, like, can you even believe that God did that? And that he did that, and he did that? We would not even have the ability to pray for something like that because we aren't smart enough to think. He's done so many things that just blow us away that we couldn't even, if we were responsible to ask and he was responsible for filling, we would miss so many things of what he's doing. So what a valuable lesson, what a valuable thing it is to know that we're not in charge. We're not responsible for the results. You know, I used to take kids in my youth ministry on a thing called Soul Patrol. Now, have mercy on me. This was back in like the 90s, all right? We even had Soul Patrol t-shirts, man, you know, with like the Rat Patrol guy on and all that. And it started out, I'd take a van load of kids out and work it out on MapQuest where I put two groups of two on one end of the road, two groups of two on, and they would share the gospel with the people in the neighborhood and they would meet in the middle so I'd get to see them. Then it ended up I had to take a big bus. Then it ended up I had to take our evangelism director and we had two big buses, two big cheese wagons. We drove through Crime Hills, Pine Hills. Go look at it right now. It's a war zone. And it was that most of my kids got saved through that, in that gang mentality and all that different stuff. But here they are, I'm dropping. And I have pristine kids too, and their moms are like, you're dropping my, yeah, here, come with me. But we would have 70 kids out in a ghetto neighborhood in Pine Hills, and they'd be sharing the gospel. And I'd see every kid within 60 seconds in doing the bus route we had, and they would share the gospel with people. Now, when they saw somebody get saved, somebody pray to receive Christ, what do you think it was like when they came up on the bus? Oh, yeah, Pastor, guess what happened? Oh, my goodness, this person, I shared this, and God did this, you know? And they would see people give their life to Christ, and they were pumped. But what do you think it meant when I would see a kid walk up on the bus like this? What do you think that meant, Ben? Yeah, they were wore out, nothing happened. And I would ask them, I said, were you faithful to share the gospel? And they said, yeah. I said, according to 2 Corinthians, that was a sweet smell to God. It's a sweet smell to God when you do what you're supposed to do. And we're not responsible for the results. I said, you can't save somebody. All you are is a mouthpiece. Were you successful in being that? Yes. I did what I was supposed to do. And I said, then either stand on your head and make that frown a smile, or change it. and they would see it from God's perspective. But so often, we're bummed because we don't see the results we were looking for. What God's looking for is your faithfulness, because it's him that's got to do everything. Amen? So, going back, this is the end. If Terry was here, and I can say it within 2 minutes, we're out before 11, but we'll see. No, it doesn't matter how deep the water is. Doesn't matter how deep your problems are. As long as you stay on top of it and you stay focused on God to keep your head above water. And I gave you a bunch of verses for that, and they are on Facebook and they're on our other sites. You'll see that. Number two, if you don't pay attention, especially during those slow times, you will miss the excitement. Don't get distracted when it seems as if God is doing nothing. And last but not least, you are not responsible for the results. You're not really the captain. Do you know that, Chris? You're not. I mean, the world holds you accountable. You're the captain. Something happens, dude. You're the one who's, you know, that's you. But Jesus is the captain. And you said that. You're like, you know, God just didn't let the fish bite. That's all. That's cool. There was a purpose in that, too, because you know what? There wasn't as much bloody junk to wash off the boat afterwards, was there? You know? So whatever the purpose is, but we're not responsible for the results. Because we're not really the captain. We're not really in charge. He is. Let's pray. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today, maybe they are being buried with troubles right now. They feel like they're sinking and they can't do anything but sink. Father, I pray that today they'd be encouraged. If they don't have a relationship with you through Christ, I pray, Father, that you would give them a desire they can't refuse to surrender everything they know about themselves, everything they know about you. Father, I pray that they would realize that they can't get rid of the weight fast enough. They can't solve anything to the magnitude of what you can. Any way they solve something, it would be way inferior to the way you want to solve it. So I pray for those of us that have Christ and those that don't, that we would see the need for you to solve every situation, to help us, to make us have the ability to keep our head above water and keep it focused on you. Father, I pray that as we make decisions in life, that that those decisions wouldn't be based on results and potential results, what we think we can accomplish, but instead, Father, our decisions of where we are and what we do and how we handle things is wholly and solely based on where you want us. Father, I think of Corrie ten Boom and her sister when you had them in a Nazi concentration camp, the very worst concentration camp at that, where all of the sick girls and ones with problems were, where it was raining and the straw mattresses full of roaches and rats. And they wondered why you had them there. And afterwards, they found out that the girls in the nice barracks were being raped. But you protected them while they were in those horrible conditions. Father, I pray that we would focus so hard in wanting to be where you want us to be, realizing that wherever we are, that's what you've designed for us. It's your purpose, and we figure out how to give you glory in that. And Father, help us never think we're responsible for the results, because that would be self-righteousness. Father, what a privilege it is to serve you and get to do all the things that you line up for us to do. And as we're doing them, no matter what the results are, how they're working out or not working out, help us to find your glory in all of it. Help us to find joy in it, like Christ found joy in the cross. Father, help us to understand that nothing is on accident. You've got us exactly where you want us, and we are just simply there to be used as a tool to display your glory. So, Father, if there's someone that's never given their life to Christ and they need this hope, I pray today you give them a desire they can't refuse to just surrender themselves to you. And for those of us that have, by your grace and the faith that comes with it, Father, help us implement these three things into our life. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people at Driftwood threw up a shotgun and said, yeah.